Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology, three astrologers who get together on the phone and talk about what's going on in the sky and how that's reflected in our lives and on the planet around us. And my name is Mark Waltz. I'm speaking to you from New York City, and I'm joined by my colleague Heather.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, on the banks of the Mississippi River. The northern frozen banks, but the banks.
Frozen, yeah,
indeed.
I should hope so. And we should be joined by Ann Ortley, and hopefully she'll call in shortly. Meanwhile, we'll get going, and I'm going to start with an announcement. On March 7th and 8th, we have a special event coming up, Access Astrology, which is me and Heather and Ann, are going to do a workshop on reading relationships. So using astrology to look at relationships. And it'll be fun. And it's meant to bring people to a point of being able to use astrology to, in fact, have conversations about relationships with people. And it's a very helpful tool. So I'm looking forward to that.
And how can they find more about that, Mark?
Eventzilla.com, EventZilla.com, and you look up Access Astrology for our workshop on reading relationships.
And I'm going to, I bet Anne has it on her website. Mine, it'll be up by the end of the week on my website under classes and events under astrology. And we'll have links to that, so it'll be an easy way to do that. Now, this is going to be an interesting workshop weekend. We're going to be doing it in running two tracks. It'll be three of us, so two of us will be working at all times and helping. We'll be presenting material and then breaking out into small groups where we work with the intermediate and some work with the advanced, and we'll be switching off who works with who. So it should be really interesting.
Yeah, whatever your level of astrology knowledge is, come on in, you know, be prepared to learn something about relationships, including some that you are in. And that doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. You know, it's your relationship with your parents, your siblings,
your boss,
all have relationships.
Your public enemy.
We've all got all kinds of relationships. So you'll learn about at least some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then meanwhile, we have Mercury stationing today.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, if you've been able to see the planet, every day the last several days, you'd see it slowing down, and now it seems to be not moving against the background of the stars. And that's called a station, stops. And then it'll go backwards. So if you look from one evening to the next, if you can see it at night, you won't see it in the daytime, Mercury. But if you're somewhere on the planet where you can see it at night, it will seem to move now backwards for the next 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Then it'll stop, and it'll seem to move forward again.
Started in its shadow about a week ago, and it will come out of its shadow a week afterwards. And that means it hit the point that it's going to retrograde back to. Then it keeps moving. Then it turns retrograde. Then it retrogrades back to that point. And when it turns direct, then it moves forward. And when it moves forward past the point that it retrogrades, we're in the clear. So it. You know, it's a little complicated on either side. I find it more complicated with Mercury retrograde because Mercury is a planet of movement when it's holding still. And I could tell it had gone into its shadow last week. I gather there was one car pile up after the other on the East Coast when you got hit by an ice storm that sent some pretty amazing car accidents happening, didn't you?
Yeah, that was on Sunday. It was
very,
very slick roads, and people were not too well prepared for it. mentally, you know.
I mean,
because basically, there's not a lot you can do except don't drive.
Right.
And
that's just something we can't conceive of anymore.
No, and we didn't get a very good warning. You know, there should have been fairly severe warnings out, you know, to tell people. Because
right.
on a Sunday morning.
Just don't drive.
You know,
drive.
Yeah, they could. It would have been better to warn people, it's really slick out there. Don't go out if you don't have to. Because a lot of people don't have to. And, you know, the problem. And once you did, if you figured it out pretty quickly, you just pull over and don't go. Just wait.
Right.
Till the roads get salted or the temperature goes up a little. By afternoon, the temperature was up enough that most of the roads were no longer freezing. But the first few hours of the day, it was slick. So that was our welcome to Mercury retrograde.
And Mercury retrograde has its technical difficulties, but it's also got some real gifts. And, you know, I think that you know, the one thing that it's hardest to do with Mercury in the mercurial age that we live is to sit still and to be quiet. And the two things that Mercury retrograde really likes us to do are sit still and be quiet and go within. But
and
anything
really
that
nice
we can
that
do.
That,
yeah.
That happens basically three times a year for a few weeks. And
it's
actually appropriate for all of us because we spend, especially now in this age of information and data overload, we spend a lot of time chasing information and chewing on it and spitting it out half digested. And, you know, to take a little time slowing all of that down and reflecting on it on a deeper level and putting it in context with other things around it and from the past, that's an appropriate use of Mercury retrograde, and that's why we have it. That's why it comes up three times a year. It's just sort of the universe saying to us, you know, slow down all of that communicating. You know, there's too much jabber. We call it jabber, right? In Indonesian language is a term, omong kosong, which means empty talk. There's a lot of empty talk. And so
that's
when
beautiful.
Mercury goes retrograde, we can get empty talk then too, but at least, you know, we know it for what it is. But otherwise, we're meant to sort of sort it out, you know.
And so one of the I often see people have problems of communication and tension in the household because of something that they did with Mercury retrograde, some misunderstanding that happened. So one of the things I ask is, if you feel tension mounting between you and a beloved, slow it down. Assume there's a misunderstanding. Stop and figure out what else could be going on. And if necessary, just take a break and come back when your hearts are more engaged. So that sometimes the misunderstandings can just keep piling up on one another.
Yeah.
I find that I just can't tell a joke because I can't speak it sequentially. And I always flip the punchline somewhere in the beginning. My words just kind of pile up a little bit. But that's just one of my Mercury retrograde issues. And my phone has gone missing again. So it's often we get technical problems that help us be quiet. But many creative people talk about it being one of the most fertile times of the year where they can dive into alternate ways of thinking and see things from a different perspective than they have before.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great opportunity for that. Meanwhile, we had a new moon.
Yeah.
In Aquarius yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Or Monday.
And it went from sun and moon in Capricorn to sun and moon in Aquarius overnight.
Right. So we had the new moon in 0 degrees of Aquarius. Very powerful, because that's a very, very strong degree.
And that was quite powerful and quite beautiful.
Yeah.
And how did you feel that? Did you feel a shift yesterday?
Yeah, I think, you know, I feel it as much as a beginning of a seasonal change as anything. I always feel by the time we get to that Aquarius new moon, we're starting to move through winter. So, you know, winter feels like we're sort of stuck in winter in late December and even early January. But by now, I begin to feel there's momentum, like every day there's a little more light. Yeah, it's a little hard to believe a couple of weeks ago, but now it just seems like it's on the march. And this particular one, we had Mars conjuncting Neptune and actually Chiron with it in Pisces. And that had a lot of influence.
And how did you see that?
Well, you know, when you have Mars and Neptune working together, trying to blend their energies, there's kind of an unsureness about exactly what to do. And at the same time, sort of an intuitive openness to just try something with no idea of where it might be going. And that's kind of nice.
That is. And it is a chance to let go of some old tensions or frustrations or angers that we used to have that are no longer serving us, or let go of an ambition that wasn't appropriate.
Yeah.
I'm noticing that it's, I'm doing some writing this week, and it's hard to do it from a mental or intellectual place. But if I speak to the archetype and I kind of dream it, work with it that way, then it flows more smoothly. So we really, you know, in some ways, I find Mercury retrograde, when I get over the frustration of it, and this Mars-Neptune does adds to that because it softens our momentum. We can close, it's like closing the good eyes so we develop the weak eye. You know, it's harder to reach in with just our intuition and our heart sometimes, but it helps. It also can be, you know, Mars violence around Neptune spirituality. I don't expect any of the religious wars to get quieter this week.
No, not quite.
Unfortunately.
And along with that, at 12 degrees of Aries, we have Uranus and the South Node.
Yeah.
So there's a strong sense of release and letting go of things, which, if we do it intuitively, is a good use of that energy. Just if it feels right to let it go, just let it go. You know,
wonderful.
We can be free of things.
And it
often comes up as an opportunity. In other words, it's not so much things that we planned to let go of, but more like, oh, here's your chance. You know.
And it is kind of watching that you don't let go of something that you actually do want.
Right. Yeah.
Because it can also be let go and to go into fuzzhead.
Right.
I find, you know, the desire to reread Tolkien or something, just to disappear into another land for a little while. And that, I think, is very much this Neptunian lineup. Now, it's going to change this spring when Mercury goes direct. At the end of February, Mars turns into Aries and Venus, and it's going to be a cooking this spring. So we can rest up with this Neptunian piece, or we can fill up and imagine what we want to do when the energy returns and be ready to roll when the spring momentum picks up.
Yeah. Yeah, which it will. We're constantly reminded of this Pluto-Uranus square. We're headed toward the last of five of those squares. And that comes up in March. But they're very close to the square now as they move toward it. So it's just sort of this steady drumbeat of Pluto-Uranus, which is kicking up all this sort of social upheaval that we've been feeling. And it's still very much with us.
And it will be interesting to see how we work with that.
Yeah.
And it was funny last night watching the State of the Union address. There were some very inspiring pieces when Native American, transgendered, lesbian, and gay were mentioned in a positive frame in the State of the Union address for the first time. Very
mm-hmm.
sun and moon in Aquarius, very inclusive. Watching a few people respond to it was pretty funny. And, you know, declarations that are made with Mercury stationary have a hard time coming through, have a hard time manifesting. So we'll see what comes of that. But I found that as a very interesting sun and moon in Aquarius. And Mars, Neptune, kind of trying to remember where our vision is and where what we want to do with our vision in this country.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. The
and,
State of the Union
mm-hmm.
and the inaugurations are all set for this ingress of the sun into Aquarius. We don't always
mm-hmm.
have a new moon with it, but
yeah.
It's always the sun going into Aquarius.
Isn't it interesting? It's very much the President's Day energy, the very political energy of Aquarius,
mm-hmm.
which often people forget. The other thing I see with Mars-Neptune conjunction can be accidents around water, liquid, or oils. We mentioned the pileups on the East Coast. There was also a major oil spill into the Yellowstone River. That's a real ecological
mm-hmm.
disaster at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that with Mars-Neptune. Mars and Neptune are usually in relationship when there are, or Saturn-Neptune, if it's an oil ship that cracks into a stone and breaks open when there's oil spills.
Mm-hmm.
But that can help
yeah,
us
Mars,
be more honest
Mars
about what it means.
Mars often represents machinery and
mm-hmm.
things that run. And,
right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give the number out for people who would like to call in. We have one caller on the line. But if you are interested, it's 347-215-8881. That's 347-215-8881. And we'll give, are we ready to give this person a call? Hello, 613, you're on the line. How can we help you?
Hi, it's Aeolia in Rochester, New York. And my birthday is coming up. It's February 14th, 1951.
Mm-hmm.
9:06 a.m. in Chicago, Illinois.
Hmm.
And I was looking at this birthday solar return.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have, I mean, what I see is a bowl with Jupiter at the handle, Jupiter and Leo as this focal. Well, I don't know if it's a focal point or not. That's why I'm calling you. I'd love to hear your
okay. Impression. And do you normally use Precess corrected, or do you just do?
I don't know that
work
label.
With it. Okay,
I don't know that term.
There's different ways of doing the solar returns, and some people use the precession corrected, and others don't. I'm just also going to take a quick look at your transits because, to me, the transits trump the solar return and allows us to kind of see how they go together.
Okay.
And so
well,
you're an Aquarius with your Gemini moon and an Aries rising. And Uranus is working its way through your 12th house with a 22-degree Aries rising. And I see that Neptune has been going back and forth squaring your moon this year. And it's still resonating on that for a little while. But your progressed Venus is also at 4 degrees of Gemini, close to your progressed, your natal moon and being squared by Neptune. And your progressed moon has been in Virgo and just passed Saturn and has another few months in Libra. So it looks like there's a change that's coming in just a few months when your progressed moon gets out of Virgo and out of what looks like it's been a hard-working couple of years with some sensitivity in your health and thoughts about, you know, waffling or worrying about what you're doing next.
A lot.
That you're moving into a healthier and more direct place. And let's take a look at that. Mm-hmm.
I just don't know about money. I have less money coming in each month than going out.
Mm-hmm.
And I
that's
can't figure it out.
Never fun. Mm-hmm.
Never fun. And I can't figure
so
it out.
So I'm going to look at your solar return based on not on the process corrected, because just to see what you, and we'll take a look at it afterwards, the way I would do it. And you see the bowl with the Jupiter up there in the 10th house. What kind of line of work are you in?
Well, I have a history as a medical social worker for many years, but because I don't have the right letters after my name and insurance is driving reimbursement, I can't get a job. I have a degree in education and 20 years experience in medical social work, and I can't get a job in either field.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I'm...
Where are you living these days?
I'm back in Rochester after 3 months on the road, but looking to change that.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering with your chart, and if there, because that fits the Neptune going back and forth, squaring your moon this year, of not knowing quite where you're living and quite what you're doing. I'm wondering if you, that it feels like the work is shifting. And I'm not, I'm sure you're not surprised to think of it that way.
No, the last 6 years I've been doing private duty elder care, and I'm pretty clear that I'm done, even though I don't know what's next.
Oh, you have that loaded 11th house, a 12th house. So when I see a loaded 12th house like that, and I see Pluto is coming, it just crossed your midheaven this year, and that usually speaks of a death and rebirth of your career.
Right.
And the rebirth part. That's the part we're working on.
Haven't gotten to that part yet, but yeah, it was a long process of retrograding back and forth, very near, over and near the 11-degree Capricorn mark, which also puts it opposite, you know, the Nadir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were, and in that you were working with elder care and hospice work?
That was the end of my social work career that ended
right.
in 07. Some of the private elder care I've been doing the last half a dozen years has been end of life, but not, you know, all private, not in the bureaucracy.
And have you been working within hospitals?
I used to, but not not in the most recent handful of years.
Because of that. Because your Jupiter... Venus, Mars, all lined up in the 12th house. I would wonder if the role of educating about, I mean, you said you don't haven't been doing well in education. In educating people in what you do in medical social work?
Yeah, I can feel that energetically. I haven't been able to make it happen because of bureaucratic requirements, and I'm clear I'm not I'm not going back to school another time. You know,
no.
If I had a, you know, I don't have it in me to go get a master's degree at 60, almost 64.
When I look at your astrocartography, there is nothing happening for you on the East Coast astrologically. There's the there's a natal moon on the ascendant, but that's not a particularly happy planet running through Maine. And so I would suggest that you consider seriously looking farther afield. And I'd like to get you onto a Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, or Saturn line. Saturn is one of the strongest planets if we look at the Ptolemaic weights for yours. And you have that the Venus Mars on the ascendant through New Mexico, Denver, Wyoming, Montana, the Dakotas. You have a Sun-Mercury line in the northwest coast. And I just consider looking for schools. I keep seeing nursing schools, but schools that are training people, healthcare, like front lines healthcare workers, that need somebody to teach what you know.
Yeah.
And think of looking way west of where you live. Just open up to the possibility. I'm not telling you to go do it because I know moving is a pain. But I kind of just want you to push your, because with that Pluto in the midheaven, it doesn't want a small change. It wants a fairly large change, or it won't, or it's retirement. And I don't think
you
you're
should
ready.
Also, should also really look for the things that come easily to you, and use those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a tendency to feel like that's cheating,
mm-hmm.
but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some things that are just kind of a natural talent that it's easy for you to do, and let yourself know that you have a lot of tricks that you can teach other people that
mm-hmm.
make it easier for them. And so just kind of ask yourself, what can I just teach somebody else? And,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
let that sort of lead the way. And just even, mm-hmm. you know, have the sense of giving it away. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know how to do something, just show somebody. And see where
yeah.
it leads.
I just drove 9,500 miles.
Wow.
In about a little less than three months. And I felt really good. I felt really good in Northern Colorado. I felt good in
mm-hmm,
Montana.
Mm-hmm,
there was
mm-hmm,
places I felt I could be, but I wasn't really done here. So I'm back here trying to figure out,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And what do you feel that you're not done with there?
My only asset is my house, which is almost
mm-hmm.
paid off. Keep it,
mm.
sell it. I don't know. It's the house and the cat. It's still the house
oh.
and the cat.
I think you can still take the cat. But I would like what Mark said. And you know where you felt comfortable. You felt much happier when you got out where Venus and Mars and Jupiter all sits on your ascendant out there in Colorado. We're going to have to go. I just going to consider moving farther abroad. From the aspects, I would not worry about the house so much as about the job. Follow
yeah.
where your work takes you, and then the decision on the house will ripen and fall into place.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck.
Okay, so happy birthday coming up.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Okay, thanks for calling. And we are signing off, Access Astrology, Mark Waltz from New York City.
And Heather Rowan Robbins from Minnesota.
Good, and we'll check in with you again next week.
Have a wonderful week. Keep safe. Enjoy this Mercury retrograde. Let it bring up good things from your past. Bring work to completion. And we'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.